Softly and tenderly Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. See on the portals he's waiting and watching, watching for you and for me. Come home, come home, ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, O sinner, come home. Time is now fleeting, the moments are passing, passing from you and from me. Shadows are gathering, deathbeds are coming, coming for you and for me. Come home, come home, ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, O sinner, come home. Oh, for the wonders full love he has promised, promised for you and for me. Though we have sinned, he has mercy and pardon, pardon for you and for me. Come home, come home, ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, O sinner, come home.
Dear Lord, we just want to thank you for allowing us to gather today and to hear from your word, Lord. And we pray for our leaders in our country, Lord, and we pray that you give them the wisdom to know what to do and how to open a country back up and what's the right steps to take so that we can keep living life and keep serving you, but we can also, Lord, not cause the virus to spread further, Lord. And we pray that you give them wisdom and that you help in a process. We know that you, that the heart of the king is in your hands, Lord, and that our Congress and our president's hearts, everything they do is in your hands, Lord. You're in control, and we want to trust you, faithfully serve you, and to look to you for guidance and hope, Lord. And we pray for Pastor as he comes to bring the message, that he would speak clearly and communicate the words that you have prepared and laid on his heart, Lord, and that we would listen attentively, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you very much. I want to mention a couple of prayer requests. We received a number of cards in the mail about the 41st anniversary of the church. We appreciate everyone. Everybody was very nice and complimentary. I have to remind the church every year when we have an anniversary, it's not about me, it's about the church. It's the church's anniversary. And Joy and I have been married longer than the church has been here, you know. In May, we'll celebrate 49 years, and the church is just celebrating its 41st wedding anniversary. And I'm just amazed at what God has been able to do and accomplish, and it's because of all of you. So everybody deserves a card, you know. Thank you for, and happy anniversary to everyone. I heard from Chris today, and he said Debbie finished up with some days of radiation therapy. And this Friday, she's to start for three straight Fridays with chemo. And please pray for her. He said so far it's gone pretty well. Pete went back to the doctor today. Jacob took him, and he had rewrapped his wound and put some different medicine on it. And the doctor gave him compression stockings because he was getting some swelling, and that's going to prohibit his healing a little. So they can deal with that with the compression stockings. And the doctor said come back in 5 weeks, and he thinks about 6 weeks Pete might be kind of off of the staying off the foot and all that. He can walk from his chair to the table now and doesn't have to wear the boot any longer. So at least that's some liberty, and continue to pray for him, and he thanks you. And just in case any of you hadn't heard, I talked to Chris today. She stopped by and brought her offering, and she's going to the doctor, the chiropractor that works on the brain tumor that she has. And so please continue to pray for her. She won't get an MRI until this fall or maybe November, I think it is, possibly. And they do that once a year to compare the size of it. It is a benign tumor, and they're trying to treat it so that if they ever do surgery on it, that it'll come out much better. And so continue to pray for her. And she did not know that they had found that they got all the cancer on Pete's leg. The doctor said no cancer in the lymph nodes that they tested, and he believes that he got all the cancer out in the surgery. So that's a real good report. Carol Holloway is taking chemo pills. Diane Hudler has stage 4 liver disease. Continue to pray for her. Connie Rooks, our friend, is on chemotherapy, and it's the heavy stuff. It really knocks you down. You know, she's got several more to go. Bill and Debbie Wright stopped by today, and want to pray for them. Both of them have some health needs. Diane Ferguson fixed supper for Joy and I last night and dropped it off at our house. And good country cooking. She knows I love that kind of food, you know, cornbread and pintos and onions. And she made some slaw, and she made some homemade pimento cheese and some slices of ham. And I had pinto beans and cornbread for lunch today, and I had one of those pimento cheese sandwiches for supper that I like so much. So I really appreciate Diane. But Diane has done something to her leg and her upper hip that it sounds like the sciatic nerve, but it's not in the back. It's down her cheek and down her leg, and she can hardly get in and out of a sitting position. So please pray for Diane Ferguson. Miss Florence has trouble with her hip. Joy has a skin cancer that they put off the surgery until June. Dick Van Benschoten and Sarah Van Benschoten. Sarah has cancer, and Dick has started out with lupus, and it is an autoimmune disease that he battles. Wayne Connor is the neighbor of the Baskins. They ask prayer for him. He's got a health need. Ms. Lisa Hood, nurse, works with hospice. And pray for her, please. Paul and Loretta, want to remember them. Remember all of our nurses and doctors. We have several in the church. We have 2 medical doctors and I think about 3 nurses plus an EMT, Brother Joe. And we want to be sure and pray for all of these folks. They are in a little bit higher risk category, especially Emily's family asked us to continue to pray for her. She works in Pineville Hospital, and she's on the ward where the patients would be if they have the corona, COVID-19. And then the Clarks have a daughter-in-law who, I'm not sure, do you know where they live? Maryland, maybe? Maryland, and she's married to their son, and she is a nurse in a ward for all those COVID-19 patients. And so remember all of these folks. Pray for our president. Pray for our nation. Ask God's help and direction. There's a terrible division in our nation politically. And you would hope something like this virus would sort of make folks pull together and pray for one another and care for one another. But it doesn't seem to have calmed the temperament any of those that are trying to use it against us in the nation to do anything to discredit the president so they can try to keep him from getting reelected. Go in your Bibles to Acts chapter 1. I want to read a few verses and then I'm going to pray. Acts chapter 1, verse 14 is sort of our theme and text for tonight's prayer meeting. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of names together were about 120. Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. For he numbered with us and had obtained part of this ministry. Now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. It was known unto all the dwellers at Jerusalem, insomuch that the field is called in the proper tongue Aceldama, that is to say, the field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, let no man dwell therein, and his bishopric let another take. Wherefore, of these men which have accompanied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John unto the same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. And they appointed two, Joseph called Barsabbas, who was surnamed Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, Thou, Lord, which knoweth the hearts of all men, show whither of these two thou hast chosen, that he may take part of this ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. And they gave forth their lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. So back in where I started, verse 14, these all continue with one accord in prayer and supplication. Let's pray. Father, as we look into your word tonight, we do pray and ask for your intervention. We ask you to meet with us. You promise where two or more are gathered in your name that you would be in the midst of them. And we gather here in your name. Here in the church, Lord, there's four of us in here right now. And we hope more than 100 at home watching on the television or on the computer or on their phones. And we ask that you would meet with us and that you'd guide us, direct us, fill us with your spirit, equip us for what we need to do, and bless your church with protection and provision, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. We often get a little slack in the amount of time we spend in prayer and the time in God's word. Most of us right now have a little more time on our hands than usual. Even if you're working every day, you're not driving back and forth to the church services, and you're probably not going to Walmart as often as usual or other stores, and so you probably do have a little more time even if you're working a full-time job. And so we should spend a little more time with our reading and our prayer and our study of the Scripture. First of all, tonight, we won't grow spiritually without study and prayer. 2 Peter 3:18, Peter said to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we not only won't grow if we don't study and pray, but we won't maintain the same level of spiritual maturity and service for God if we don't spend time in study and prayer. I see a lot of people who used to be faithful, active, busy in the church who aren't there any longer. Something's happened to them, and probably it was several things, little by little, that they quit reading as much and quit praying as much and they quit going to all the services as much. And little by little, they can get out of church altogether if they aren't careful. The early church saw the ascension of the risen Lord in Acts chapter 1. If you haven't lately, go back and read through these first five chapters of Acts. We'll look at a few verses from that section of Scripture tonight. They saw Jesus ascend up into heaven. He had appeared alive after his death for 40 days. 40 days risen from the grave. He appeared to his disciples and to others, to 500 at one time. Now he met with them on the Mount of Olives, and he left them there and ascended up to his Father. The angels appeared in the sky as the men looked up at Jesus going up into heaven. Two men in white, the Bible calls them. And they questioned the disciples. Ye men of Galilee, why stand you here gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus that is taken up from you shall so come again in like manner, even as you have seen him go. So the promise of his coming again and the visual sight of him leaving them, then they experienced the descending of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, just a short time after this. But before the final day of Pentecost came, these early disciples assembled in the upper room together with about 120 there. They assembled. Now, I'd like to fuss at you for not assembling, but I can't. We're not allowed to right now. But once all this mess is gone, let's don't let the things of this world hinder us from assembling together. It's important that we go to church and gather together to serve the Lord. They were assembled in one accord. It means they were in harmony of thoughtfulness. They had one mind between them. They were all in the same purpose. And they prayed. Now these disciples had gone to Jesus and said, "Teach us to pray," back in Matthew 6. And Jesus had explained prayer to them and what is called the Lord's Prayer. So they had seen Jesus pray and heard Jesus pray, and he taught them about prayer. And now they're being the ones that are leading in prayer. And they not only had prayer, but they made supplication. Supplication is an appeal of the desire to God, to make a sincere appeal. It would seem to have an urgency about something, a seriousness about something. We pray for people all the time with cancer and sickness and illness. But friend, if it's your husband or wife or your child that has that disease, you're going to pray with a supplication. You're going to pour your heart out to God and seek his intervention. And that's the kind of prayer they were offering here. They prayed to God. All prayer should be to our God, and it should be intermingled with praise and with adoration. And then we ask for our request before the Lord. Prayer is addressed to God our Father in heaven. He's all holy, all powerful, all knowing, ever present. That's who we get to talk to in prayer to bring our simple needs and concerns to. And he's all powerful. He's the creator. Nothing is too hard for God. Nothing is impossible with God. Prayer is available to us through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's in his name that we come to the Father. It is his request that we're seeking of God. Father, the Lord Jesus would have us to be a witness here in our community and to send missionaries around the world. Help us to do that. Provide for us. Supply the need, Father. Give us wisdom in the people that we support and help us in this. Help us in protection right now from this virus. Provide for us as people are missing work and some possibly losing their jobs or careers or business. Make a way for us to be provided for. Protect us and grant us power as we offer you praise. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is the interpreter of our prayers to the Father. He makes intercession for us. Romans chapter 8 and verse 26 says we don't always know how to pray. We think we know what somebody needs and we pray and ask God to heal them or raise them up or whatever. But we don't know what God's doing in their life and how he's going to use the circumstance. It might be that God would put me in the hospital so I can witness to somebody that's in the hospital. That happened to me a couple of times down at the VA hospital in Columbia. I spent 14 days down there one time, and I gave the gospel to a bunch of Jehovah Witness people, including one of their preachers, and to an Episcopalian gentleman that was in the room with me, who his claim to fame was he made the wine for his church. And I think he sampled a good bit of it too, you know. And I helped those folks to understand what salvation is and who gives salvation and how it's obtained through the Lord Jesus Christ and in no other means. I'd like to tell you all of them got saved, but that's not the case. But I know God had a reason for me to be there and to give them the gospel. And I don't know if that's all the reason I was there. I also spoke in the chapel service on the radio to 500 rooms and gave them the gospel. And so you never know how to pray, what God might be doing and making a way for us. The Holy Spirit bears intercession for us. Back in James chapter 5, the Bible mentions prayer about four times in that section from verse 13 through 17. And we're to pray if we have needs. And we're to pray for others who need to be well and healed. And the Bible says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Fervent means intense. The effectual, fervent prayer. Effectual is energetic, active, and powerful. Of righteous people. Righteous people pray righteously. We are given the responsibility to pray and the opportunity to pray and commune with God because Christ has cleansed us of our sins. And when we pray, we're to pray in faith. You see, faith is not the power to change God's mind about something. Faith is to believe that God wants us to pray and that He wants to help us through prayer. And faith is believing that God will respond to our prayers. Secondly tonight, back in Acts 1 and verse 15, Peter stands up and talks about the Psalms and how it was written that Judas would deny the Lord and all of this would happen. I want to quote from two passages in Psalms, Psalm 41 and verse 9. Psalm 41 and verse number 9. And then we'll look at Psalm 108. Psalm 41 verse 9 says, "Yea, mine own familiar friend in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me." So this makes a reference to Judas. And then in Psalm 108, and these aren't the only places that it makes some reference to him and what he did. Psalm 108 and verse 5, rather long passage. Psalm 108, 5. "Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens, and thy glory above all the earth, that thy beloved may be delivered. Save with thy right hand and answer me. God has spoken in his holiness. I will rejoice. I will divide Shechem and mete out the valley of Succoth. Gilead is mine. Manasseh is mine. Ephraim also is the strength of mine hand. Judah is my lawgiver. Moab is my washpot. Edom will I cast out my shoe. Over Philistia will I triumph. Who will bring me into the strong city? Who will lead me into Edom? Wilt not thou, O God, who hast cast us off? And wilt not thou, O God, go forth with our hosts? Give us help from trouble, for vain is the help of man." And he refers to how the difficulties of the Lord are with him and how God can provide and make a way. And in Psalm 1:9, he says, "Set thou wicked man over him," referring to Judas, "and let Satan stand at his right hand. When he shall be judged, let him be condemned. Let his prayer become sin. Let his days be few, and let another take his office. Let his children be fatherless, and his wife a widow." Many people don't know that these verses refer to Judas, and they think the only thing that happened to Judas was his hanging himself after he realized he had what he had done in betraying innocent blood in the Lord Jesus. And but there's a number of scriptures that deal with the curse upon Judas and upon his family. It goes all the way down through verse 16. It says, verse 12, "Let none extend mercy to him." Verse 13, "Let his posterity be cut off." Let the iniquity of his fathers be remembered with the Lord. Let not the sin of his mother be blotted out. Let them be before the Lord continually, that he may cut off the memory of them from the earth, because that he remembered not to show mercy, but persecuted the poor and needy, that he might even slay the broken in heart. So this man, Judas, was one of the 12, and it was written for him to be replaced. His bishopric, Zechariah, refers to him, and there are a number of passages that do. Now, these two men had traveled along with the apostles from the time of Christ's baptism. And I sort of humorously think that they chose Matthias because he didn't have so many names. Justus, whose name was Joseph, Barsabbas. And Barsabbas means son of Sabbath. And his surname was Justus. And it'd be kind of hard to keep up with all those names. Well, now the disciples who had gathered here in the upper room in prayer, and they've done a business meeting and voted and replaced Judas as one of the 12, the Feast of Pentecost comes upon them in chapter 2, and beginning with verse 1, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. It filled the house where they were sitting. So the day of Pentecost has fully come. This is the 50th day feast, Penta meaning 50. Pentecost is the feast 50 days after the time of the resurrection of Christ from the dead, which falls on the feast of first fruits. Christ was the first fruit from the dead. And when they made the offering of the first fruits offering at that particular feast, it would guarantee that God would bless the remainder of their harvest if they came and made the first fruit offering. And so we are the full harvest of Christ's church. He offered himself, and his offering was acceptable as the first fruit. Then we, at his coming, when our time comes. So the 50th day feast, they had gathered together for it. Men from all over who were Israelites had gathered. And the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, came and indwelt them, filled them, empowered them. And it was from this time forward, when the gospel was preached and a person got saved, then they would receive the Holy Spirit when they got saved. Those who were already believers in the Lord but had not yet received the Spirit, the apostles laid hands upon, and there were various ways that that the Lord used that transitional time. Now, Peter preached here at the Feast of Pentecost a very simple, straightforward message. He preached on repentance and personal salvation by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. The apostles preached, focusing on the resurrection of Christ from the dead continually in these early chapters of the Bible. They preached about the Christ's death being the payment for the pardon of our sins. His resurrection is the power for us to live for Him and serve Him. His life was the pattern for us from His teaching to live by. And the gospel, Romans 1:16, is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. There were blessings that were given through this: the forgiveness of sin, the receiving of the Spirit, eternal life that was granted, and then power to live for God day by day. The early church has been formed and is receiving God's message. The early church prayed about everything. They assembled faithfully. They gladly heard and received His word. And they obeyed completely. In chapter 2, verse 42, They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and prayers. Fear came upon every soul. Many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. So Paul wrote that we are to be instant in prayer in Romans 12 and verse number 12. One needs to be diligent and to persevere, to give ourselves continually. Prayer should be a part of our life every day, and we should pray for God's protection and guidance and provision and forgiveness and all those things daily. Thirdly, prayer in relation to the spiritual power that we need, prayer to overcome sin and Satan. Through prayer, our heart becomes purified and cleansed as we confess our sin to God. Through prayer, our conscience is made sensitive to how bad sin is in the eyes of God and to temptation and what we must watch out for in our daily life. Our will is made strong through prayer that we might commit ourselves to serve the Lord. And our soul is protected through prayer that God hedges us about with protection. Power against slipping backwards. We call it backsliding sometimes. There's only one place in the scripture referring to backsliding as being trying to go back under the law. But we talk about when people get cold, indifferent to God, stop reading their Bible or going to church, that they're backsliding. And they let sin creep into their lives. And that is easy for anybody to do. I saw many men in Bible college get so busy working a job and going to school that they weren't spending any personal time with the Lord. They were looking for ways to get out of being faithful to church or studying or things of that nature because they had so much to do. So you can get cold and indifferent and willful in disobedience if you aren't careful. Get slack in your prayer time and your study time. You don't seem to have the energy that you need to continue to do the right things. You can sometimes begin to think it's too hard to serve the Lord. It's too hard to get it all done. It's too hard to spend the time that I need to spend. You see, it's little by little, inch by inch, that we live the Christian life. Over a period of time, we've read the Bible through many times. Over a period of time, we've witnessed to many people. Over a period of time, we've led some people to Christ. Over a period of time, we've been faithful in our service to the Lord. Reviving can come when you pray faithfully, when you seek the Lord's help. The apostles and believers were filled with the Spirit, and they surrendered and submitted themselves to God. They were in fellowship with each other, and they extended fellowship to the Gentile nations as well. Prayer makes us aware of God's presence. It restores joy and of the joy of salvation to us. It grants us greater understanding of God's will and purpose, and it opens doors for service for us. Lastly, the apostles spoke of God's word with boldness. They were ready witnesses. The Lord had told them, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and unto Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth." Now, if you look at Acts 4 and verse 23, being let go, they went their own company, reported all the chief priests and elders had said to them, and when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, "Lord, Thou art God, which has made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, Why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? Kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles, And the people of Israel were gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. They boldly preached to the Jewish leaders who didn't want to hear what they had to say. In chapter 4, verse 33, with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. In chapter 5 and verse 17, then the high priest rose up and all that were with him, which is a sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation and laid their hands on the apostles and put them in common prison. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. And when they heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning and taught. The high priest came and they that were with him and called the council together and all the senate of the children of Israel and sent to the prison to have them brought. I drop down to verse 27. When they had brought them and set them before the council, the high priest asked, saying, did not we straightly command you that you should not teach in this name? And behold, you fill Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. And Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than man. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. When they heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. Now look at chapter 5 and verse 40. To him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. They departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. And then in Acts chapter 6, they selected out 7 men filled with the Holy Ghost to put over the duties of labor and work that the early church needed done so that the apostles could give themselves to the Word of God and to prayer. We still have deacons and workers in the church today to allow those who are pastors and teachers to spend time in the Word of God and in the preaching and teaching and prayers on behalf of the church. So prayer is an important part. This Wednesday night's a great reminder. Thank you all who've watched tonight. I pray God will bless you for it and protect you from this virus and your family, and that he will supply your needs to get through this thing until we get back to where we need to be. Let's ask God's help. Father, as we bow our heads, we are so aware that we're dependent upon you. And we pray for your help. We ask you to fill us with your Spirit. Help us to be bold witnesses for Christ. Help us to speak up for the Lord Jesus and the way of salvation through him and him alone. And bless this church for its faithfulness, we pray. Bless the missionaries that we support from this church and supply their needs. And bless those who labor and work to help others. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.